Hello, ramblers and gamblers. Josh Rosenthal here. Thanks for rating, subscribing, reviewing. Find me on IG at Rambling and Gambling and email me ramblingandgamblingpodcast@gmail.com. So anybody seen any good football recently? What a weekend. Three last second field goals followed by that Kansas City Buffalo instant classic. I nearly woke up my sleeping one-year-old kid like eight times, just screaming at the end of that one. That was awesome. Interesting one for you today. Our guest is legendary pro gambler Bill Krakenberger. He starred in Showtime's four-part docuseries called Action, which, by the way, is still a good watch if you haven't seen it. I queued it back up this weekend while getting ready for the pod. Make sure you download the Crack Wins app, available on Apple and Google Play. You'll get his weekly picks along with betting strategies, tips, insider content. You can go to crackwins.com as well. Here he is, a guy I'm really happy to have on the RNG pod, a guy I've enjoyed following, a guy I respect. Although, as you're about to see, the conference championship preview portion of this podcast, I'll be honest, did not go exactly how I thought. Nevertheless, I think it's a good listen. Here he is, Bill Krakenberger. Bill, you kind of famously don't watch games that you have money on Action, the Showtime show. At one point you say,
yeah,
I'll have six figures in Action and I couldn't tell you one score. Does that mean that you didn't watch any of these incredible
playoff games? I watch the playoffs when it counts now during playoff time. Absolutely. Watch the playoffs and that was really meaning during the sports that is my wheelhouse, college basketball mostly. I really, no, I don't watch the score. There's no TV on in my house. There's no, I don't watch the scores on college basketball and college football, you know. NFL, though, my buddies are all into that, and the world's into that. So we do, I absolutely watched all four games this past weekend, and thank God I did. Really excitement that maybe you will. Might never get that chance again in a lifetime to see four games end on the last play in a playoff, conference playoff weekend like that, you know. So
let's talk about your upbringing. Grew up in Jersey, worked a million different jobs, it sounds like. And correct me if I'm wrong, but gambling was a part of your life from a very early age, right?
I grew up in Monmouth County, New Jersey, a little boardwalk, blue collar, 1 mile square town, Kingsburg, New Jersey. Great, true blue. Tough town, man. We were so tough. Matter of fact, I ran into a high school teacher recently. Haven't seen him in 37 years. I graduated 86. So he said the same thing. He said that town was he lives in Eatontown, New Jersey, which is like a 30 minutes away. He's like, nothing is like Kingsburg. Really true blue, hardcore, great town though. Everyone's loyal. At least it was when I went to school there. I'm sure just like the whole world has changed, it's probably changed also. But yeah, so again, a little town, everyone gambled, by the way. It was a rite of passage, really, in my family. You know, I grew up, my mother was an old-fashioned Italian from the Bronx. All her brother-in-law, stepbrothers, they gambled. You know, they gambled, and it was just part of our upbringing, whether it was pitching quarters behind a post office or was, you know, playing head-to-head blackjack in my garage. Or, you know, because our parents gambled and our relatives gambled. So, you know, we're creatures of habit when we know we're products of our parents and our upbringing. So we all gambled. And like when the kids would go to sleep after Thanksgiving was over, the cards broke out. And even like New Year's Eve and stuff, it was all card games. And it was centered around social, though. They're not cutthroat games. They would just play for dollars or whatever it may be. The girls will play Continental. The men will play Pinochle. My father and his brother-in-laws and stepbrothers all played Pinochle together every weekend. So money was around. I grew up on a boardwalk. I'm working on the boardwalk since I'm 9 years old. You're never going to interview anybody that had more blue-collar jobs than me. I worked at least 25, 30 jobs as a kid.
Cemetery plots at one point, I think?
Yes. Yeah, that's when I got older, though. But yeah, as a kid, I worked on the boardwalk, all gambling on that boardwalk, by the way. Even though it was wheels of chance to win candy, toys, plush animals, statues. At nighttime, late night, it became gambling games. Keno, Skillo, there's a lot of games that turned into gambling. So I learned gambling at a very young age. As I got older, though, yes, even though I always did work, yes, I worked in an arcade, a car wash, detailing cars, selling cemetery plots, selling radio ads, selling. I mean, I worked more jobs, and along the way, you know, you're still gambling the whole time. And I was a loser. I was a losing gambler, stone cold sucker like everybody else. Just that someone took me, first being my cousin Anthony on the boardwalk, showing me some advantage card counting techniques and some advantage gambling. Then later in life, another person showed me sports betting down in Atlantic City and showed, this is you know, 30 years ago, way before this wave of legalized gambling. You know, we grew up street guys with the bookmakers like everybody else. There was bookmakers on every corner. So, but yeah, worked a lot of jobs and really school of hard knocks, didn't have money for college. I probably wanted to go, would have been great, I guess, to be real blunt. Like I say, it would have been great, but I don't know if I could have made the kind of money I make now, unless I was a CEO of a company or something. But I got real lucky. Real lucky. I'll never forget it. Never forget where I come from. Give back to the communities, help people. It's just the way of my nature. You know, I'm not, I'm street smart, but there's parts of me that I wish I could do over in my life too. There's a couple things decisions I would have thought I should have made better, but I wasn't used to handling money. I never had money. We were street guys. We're knock around guys from the neighborhood, you know?
Chicago Sun-Times did a feature on you back in November. In that feature, they talk about how you owed a bookie 10 grand at the age of 15. Is that true?
I thought it was more than that. yeah, I was like 14 or 15. And, you know, looking back at that now, I look back at that now and say, boy, what balls that guy had taken bets off of 14. It was me and another kid, 14 and a 15-year-old kid together. Knowing we're going to have to pay if we lose that kind of money. And of course, a kid, what kid's going to be able to pay that?
Was it sports?
Yeah, sure.
Were you betting on sports?
Sports. Yeah. Sports, absolutely. Like a sucker. Stone cold sucker. By the way, paid that back. Borrowed money to pay. I paid every dollar. But I hated that feeling of knowing that I owed a bookmaker money at that age. And what was I going to do? Tell my parents after the way they grew up and being around people they've been around, saying that I've, become this idiot compulsive gambler. And that's another thing that I'm very outspoken on now too. I'm real big on responsible gaming and doing this right. You know, everyone is accepted now a gambling. It's just accepted everywhere. You go to a ballpark. I grew up going to Yankee Stadium and the Shea Stadium. And now these places, you know, the new Yankee Stadium, Citi Field, the sports ads out in the field and DraftKings, FanDuel and PointsBet and Bet365. It's all fun now. Everything's accepted now that they got their hands on the scuttle, that they got their hands on the money a little bit. It's okay. It's accepted now. But my fear is these kids at a young age like myself are going to get into this, get involved in this and get themselves in trouble. And I don't think anything I can say can help, because I had the old timers, the old school guys telling me, be careful doing this and that. You got to learn for yourself. But at least now, if you have a couple guys, maybe, you know, maybe their parents will probably try to, you know, push them into, you know, a more responsible type of gambling. And it's just, listen, you grow up back there. Like I said, I owed money to a bookmaker when I was a kid. Absolutely. It's almost a second nature thing, though. You're growing up around gambling your whole life. It's bound to happen. But there's so much peer pressure. You know, not only do you have girls, you have drinking, drugs, racetracks, casinos, lotteries. This is growing up in New Jersey. You grow up in the middle of America, Iowa or something. You don't have these kind of pressures that you have growing up in Jersey around these type of areas where literally, you know, from a time you were a kid, a little kid in your early years, in your single digit years until, you know, your late teens, gambling's everywhere. So it must be okay, especially now, 2022. Oh, God. Look, you know, everyone smokes pot and they gamble now. It's amazing. It's no one cares. No one cares.
The Showtime Show. Good for you. Yeah. Mad for you. Happy you did it.
Very happy I did it. All I did was have a camera behind me and let the cameras follow me around. And I showed them a peek into my life. I didn't advertise on there. I didn't show my social media. I have 37,000 followers on Twitter. I wasn't bragging about my social media. That wasn't that kind of a show for me. I wasn't going to let myself be, and not that anyone else did anything wrong. I'm not saying that, but I know the one guy on there, obviously, you know, it's all about self-promotion and cameras and bragging about. Yeah. But It wasn't me. I wasn't going to do that because that's not me. I would rather teach people what I do as a professional and be shown as the professional that I am, rather than a marketer that's trying to market myself and market something. It's not me. I think I did it the right way. I let them follow me. It was a great show. I thought it was done very good. I thought it was very well done. You know, my wife and I watched it the first time during when, of course, it came out. I was a little critical on the show. I watched it a second time during the COVID pandemic when we had four walls to stay inside of and couldn't go nowhere for a couple of months. Wow, that was done really, really well. From the music, from the beginning, the clips, the videos, I thought it was really done well. So I really enjoyed watching it the second time around.
I think you come across as being incredibly authentic. I watched a couple of the episodes this past weekend with my wife, just in preparation for this interview.
Cool.
She, in particular, melted at the scene with your wife and the interactions between you two. She loved it. She loves your wife. She said, when you talk to him this week, you make sure you tell him that. I thought you came across it very, very favorably.
Yeah, no, good. I appreciate that. So does she. You know, she's typically pretty shy. So I was glad she opened up on there and, you know, started talking about some things. We had our dog on there and, you know, we're up there 31 floors above, you know, the whole town. And it's just, you know, we're very fortunate to live the way we live now. And we're happy that the show came across well. And I'm glad people got to see a little bit about that. I'm more than just a sports bettor and more than a guy that's like, you know, because people don't realize there's a professional sports bettor that bets sports for a living, you know, and does it the right way under a small percentage of bankroll management. When you only put a small percentage of your bankroll up there. So bankroll management, living the right way and not chasing things, not watching games. You know, these millennials that watch things, they're kids, you know, they're in their 30s, their 20s. I mean, they some people want to rip me apart. But they, oh, you're driving a Kia and this guy's driving a Rolls Royce truck. Right. Well, now, I mean, I'm a little more out there now. I'll be honest with you. I go out and get a Rolls Royce truck tomorrow in cash. I mean, I can easily do it, but it's not the way I live my life. I don't do stuff like that. I actually like value. And plus I'm not really a spender on myself. I hate spending money on myself. Others, no problem. I'm not really good at spending money on myself though. I'd rather spend it on others and make other people happy and help family and friends before I do anything for myself.
On the show, pretty much every day, you're driving from casino to casino, you're making bets, you're cashing tickets. You literally, I love this part, you're pulling wads of cash separated into $1,000 chunks out of your pocket. Is that still the routine? This was a few years ago. Is that still the routine? Has anything changed?
And you know what? I really didn't show that too much on action either. It's just not, I don't do that. Listen, like I said, I could do that.
Just a little bit. I mean, in terms of like you were actually there placing bets, like you had.
Yeah, when I'm placing bets, yeah, sure. I'll go to the counter because sometimes at the counter you could bet more money than you can bet on your app. You know, like if I go to the South Point, I can only bet $300 on my app on the first half in the NFL last week when I was in Vegas. I was pretty surprised, to be honest with you. At the counter, I could bet like $3,000 or $4,000. Yeah. Oh, and the way are you talking about the way I hold money? As a matter of fact.
Yeah. Like, yeah. That's what I mean.
The way I keep my money, that's the best way to keep money. It's just a little $1,000 thing. So I know if I need $1,000, I pull $1,000 out. I mean, you know, instead of having to count bills out, I know it's $1,000. I'm not even, that wasn't prepared either. You just asked for it. I had a little 10 dime pack next to me. But
that's a fantastic way to answer that question. Yeah. You still do it the same way. That's great.
Oh yeah, the easiest way to carry money.
If you don't mind me asking, just because I know listeners are curious about this thing, and if you don't want to answer, no problem. Can you give us an idea how much action do you have? How much are you betting on any given night?
Well, you know, it depends on the sport, because like NFL props, I like to get down whenever I can on the NFL props. So between the sports books when I'm in Jersey, probably $5,000 a prop. I can get down, but I might have to take secondary numbers. So let's say I go, under 2.5 touchdown passes by Tom Brady, plus 05 for a dime. The second or third time around, I probably have to, it'll probably move at 5 cents and I'll take even. So I'll lose $50 per thousand. But if I think it's a strong enough bet, it's worth it for me. A lot of times on the marquee players, especially towards game time, especially towards kickoff, they'll need the unders on the marquee players because every guy in the sports book, every guy, they love betting overs. So on volume, even though they're $50 and $100 bets, on volume, that equals a lot of money. And books don't want to be one-sided on anything, even if they know they have the best of it. Listen, that's over long-term, over variance. So they really don't want any giant decisions on any one given bet, knowing, especially NFL, oh, God, it's almost like anything that can and will happen, will happen and has happened this season.
Yeah, we certainly saw that this weekend. Bill, you're a guy who's been around the gambling world in Vegas for a really long time. Take as long as you want with this one. Can you just give me one good story from back in the day? Anything gambling or Vegas related? I know you must have a million of these. Just give me one. Reminisce a little bit with us.
Okay, spontaneously just thinking about something. How about,
I did not prompt Bill for this at all. He had no idea this was coming.
Yeah, how about when I thought? How about when I was in the canter contest, and the down at the M when they first opened up the first year.
The what contest?
Canter Gaming. Canter Gaming was, gotcha. They were very big in town. They owned 10 sportsbooks at one time, but Canter Gaming had a contest, and going into the last week, my team was in first place. $500,000, by the way. It's $500,000 contest.
And you've been to the NFL sides?
Yes, five NFL sides a week for the whole 16 weeks of the season.
Just like it, so you know, with the Super Contest now or whatever, same type of deal.
Right, right. We're in first place, literally in first place. And when it comes to a contest like this, when you try to put people on a hand like poker, so we were actually really better at putting the other teams on what they were going to pick for the week and making our picks based on that. So we knew the second and third place team, we kind of had an idea of a couple of their plays, what they would be. We thought what they would be. And so now after the picks all come out, I think three of the five plays, we actually figured they were going to be on them. And it all came down to one play. Pittsburgh was playing Cleveland, I think it was. So to just think about this, Pittsburgh, Cleveland, if the side we pick wins, we're going to win $500,000. If not, I think the next prize was it was either 200,000 or maybe it was even winner take all. It was 200. It was 150,000. So it was literally $500,000 riding on one football game, which we actually did hedge a little bit. So we bet like 75,000 on the other side. But still, for my team, for me, you know, I had 25% of the team. So literally, you know, I had not 120, but like $75,000 on one game. It was just fun. I don't bet that kind of money on anything. So it was fun to watch one decision on TV for 75 grand. You know, I thought it was a really fun game for me to watch. That's, I don't know if it's exciting, but to me, for that kind of money, it was pretty exciting.
Did you hit?
Yeah, we won. Yeah, I won it. 490,000. Yeah, 490.
Yep. You get that kind of money. What do you do? I mean, do you celebrate? Do you just put it away? What do you do?
Yeah, I'm really not celebratory. I know.
You don't seem like it.
Yeah, I kind of expect to win long term. But on the opposite side of that, I am not upset when I lose. So it doesn't affect me really. I go to bed sometimes shaking my head a little bit, but I was in an unbelievable situation this past weekend where I found a money line on the game, and I found a plus 3.5 on a game. And I was in an unbelievable situation in the Tennessee game, which meant a healthy five figures. And if Tennessee wins by three, they were set up exactly to win by three. And then Tannehill threw the end of the late interception. And instead, it actually cost me a couple grand, cost me like $3,600. Instead of winning 26,000 or 28,000. So it was, but you know what? I'm not losing an inch of sleep on it. I just, but if I would have won, I wouldn't have, there would have been no, I don't know. I just expect to win. I expect to win in the end. You know, I'm never one that counts my blessings and counts. I know people count on things before they get them. You know, they hear about something happening in their life. They think something's going to happen in a month or 2 months, or money's coming down. I'll internally celebrate to the extent that I celebrate in my mind when I get the money or when this something happens in life. I don't, now I'll celebrate other people if they want to. I have no problem doing that. Yeah, if they want to celebrate their win or what they want to do, or I'll take them to dinner or something, I'll be happy to do it, you know. But myself, doesn't mean I'm not a happy guy or two, by the way. I'm a real happy guy. I break balls every day. I grew up in a family, you break balls. I'm a heat merchant. I fool around with everybody, joke around, and laugh every day, smile every day, positive energy every day. It's real important to me.
It seems to me that's probably one of the reasons why you've been able to be as successful as you have been over such a long time, keeping that kind of even-keeled mindset through the ups and the downs.
Oh, yeah. Because there's going to be downs, too. We have losing weeks. I have losing months. But, I mean, it's, you know, I've never had a losing quarter, which means I'm never going to have a losing year. It's been really good. The last few years have been great. I can't complain. I'm going to say the last 20 some years have been great. I was working, you know, two jobs at one time when I was told by someone about a slot machine in Atlantic City that was paying off too much, that it, you know, a video blackjack game was paying too much, that it shouldn't pay us. They were giving money back on surrender when they shouldn't have. And I was working two jobs, went down there, met someone that was a Vantage Sports better, sat down next to him just by chance, and it changed my life. And I'll always know that happened there. I know where I was heading. I was headed a 9-to-5 with a little white picket fence and the American dream, though. I always was. I worked hard. And, you know, my wife and I had one car when we were dating, and I was taking mass transit to where I had to go to. I worked, though, because I was trying to save. I was trying to save $125, and that was my goal. $125 a week, $500 a month, trying to save to get a house and to move out of rent lands. And, so I know what it was like. I know how hard it is for people out there now. It's the reason why I want to promote responsible gambling and don't make it look like it's so glamorous. And the glamorous side, it's so good, you know. I wouldn't want my children to be in the situations that I was in life. You always want better for your children. I wouldn't want them I want them to have that nice, good job, solid union job, foundation, future pension. I don't have that kind of stuff. I don't have a, you know, 401k or a pension or anything like that. Now, granted, I do my own job at saving where I'll be fine, but I'm just saying, I don't have that guaranteed income coming in when I'm retired. You know, I do pay a lot of taxes, so I'll have Social Security or something, but that's not going to help me in my lifestyle. So I try to promote it, and I try to say, listen, you shouldn't even be try to make money full-time gambling. Work your job, do your thing. You can make little bits of money here and there. Try to find some of the money, try to follow some of the money management tips, some of the bankroll management tips that I teach. Watch some of my videos on Twitter. I try to teach always advantage gambling. If anything, I want to save people money than even make them money. I want to make them lose less than they're going to lose on their own if they don't just follow me and make money doing it. So,
speaking my language, man, we talk about that all the time. We hope that with some of the very casual, low stakes gamblers who listen to this podcast, we can help them lose less more than win. On that note, let's talk about these conference championship games coming up this weekend. Here's how we're going to do it. I'm going to give you the game, the odds, a little bit of setup, and then just take it absolutely anywhere you want to go. No pressure to make a pick or anything like that unless you want to. Just do your thing, man. And by the way, all these odds are from FanDuel as of Tuesday afternoon. First up, Cincy at KC, Chiefs laying 7, over under 54.5. Cincy's taken down the Raiders and the Titans so far this postseason. They're in the AFC Championship game for the first time since 1988. Last week was their first time winning a road playoff game in team history. They had been 0-7. KC, meanwhile, pulled off that insane win against the Bills Sunday night. It was the first playoff game in NFL history in which there were three go-ahead touchdowns in the final 2 minutes of regulation. And this is from Elias Sports. The Chiefs are the first team since the 1990 Bills to score 40-plus points in back-to-back games during a single postseason. Bill, take it away. What do you think of this one?
A lot of that stuff means nothing, especially trends telling me 0-7. It's total different squads. I'm not a trend guy at all. I hate them. As a matter of fact, a lot of frauds out there are trying to push trends on you because they don't know anything else. They're trying to sell games. And yes, by the way, I do have my own app too, CrackWins app, crackwins.com. I'm not trying to say that. I'm just saying most people that are out there talking this stuff, they have nothing else to sell. They can't sell advantage gambling. So they have to grasp for straws, one of which is trends over the last 10 seasons, which means nothing about this squad this year.
And to be clear, let me just point out, we mentioned those simply because I think they're interesting, not in any way, shape, or form. Because
it's not
I
just you. No, it's everybody. It's not just you. You're hearing it from someone else. You know, you go on Twitter and you see all these talking heads. A lot of them don't even put their own money up. You're listening to people that are being paid to talk about sports from certain sports books or certain sites, and they don't even bet sports. How can you follow their advice? I mean, but they're out there. Maybe they're, you know, they're good looking, they're sexy or whatever it may be, and they talk a good thing. Now, there are some of them that I will watch and listen to some things they say, but to be honest with you, I'm probably not going to learn too much off. Not that I'm not open to learning, but I'm not going to learn nothing off someone that's working for a sportsbook site. That's for sure. That's for sure. But I'm not saying that, though. I'm not trying to down nobody either in particular. I'm just saying I hate that these people out there have no choice but to watch these talking heads. And I'm not only talking about the ones on Twitter, even the ones on TV, the ex-players, the ex-coaches and stuff. They couldn't make a living betting sports. They have to get paid from their bosses to their networks and stuff. You really can't follow stuff like that. You have to follow, and there are some good follows on Twitter. I'm not just saying Bill Krakenberger, trust me, I'm not. There's some really good analytics followers on Twitter and some good analytics site. There's stuff out there, but you have to just know who the frauds and who the phonies are. And if you got a little bit of street smarts, a little bit of common sense, you can decipher who's which. Going back to your question about this week's games, I don't really bet NFL games. You know, I think I bet one this year. I gave one out. I'm not an NFL. I don't know anyone that can really beat it. I mean, that's how hard it is to beat the NFL. Think about it. It's all that's talked about. It's shoved in your face from every single media source. It's what sells. It's what's sexy. NFL. I call NFL standing for NFL, not for long, if you want to bet your bankroll on it, because it's just that hard to beat. So do I like any team this weekend? No, I don't. Anything can happen. Look at the teams you just said. Kansas City. I can give you a reason why any team in the NFL should lose this year. This year was a year that's amazing. Kansas City 6 weeks ago almost lost to the Giants at home on Monday Night Football. They won 20-17, the New York Giants. I mean, you know, they haven't looked great throughout the year. They look great in playoff time. Yeah, they look pretty good now. I understand. But, you know, I can go up and down the ladder. Tennessee lost. Well, Tennessee lost to Jacksonville a couple weeks ago. Knocked me out of a survivor pool for $6 million bucks in Vegas. The Raiders, I mean, they're back and forth every week. They lost at home to so many teams this year. I went to an opening week game. They beat Baltimore. But besides that, they weren't, you know, no one was lighting a fire there either. So this year, any given team like Kansas City, you could say Green Bay. Green Bay lost already. But I could give you reasons why Green Bay could have lost the game. I mean, they were losing to the Bears at halftime a couple weeks ago. They were losing out right by six. So anything can happen any given Sunday. Like I always say, don't go crazy on that. You should look at these games from other areas, other ways to look at them. The sides, no, I don't do it. I don't recommend anyone doing it. Totals, I'll bet time to time. First half totals, definitely. I love betting first half totals. I love betting proposition bets, as I said. I'll bet some teasers. I'll bet some correlated parlays throughout the year. You know, what that means is like first half and over.
Sure.
Side and over. Now, there I will bet a side because there's a correlation. If the numbers are right, if the first half numbers are right. But I really don't do a lot of NFL betting. And, you know, like I said, I know it's the glamorous, sexy thing to do. It's the reason why the sports books are in business. I more stick to college football, my NFL props. That's probably, if I had to pick two different things, it would be probably college basketball. Actually, college basketball, NFL props, they're probably my number one and number two things. But if you're going to bet something this weekend, especially, you know, look towards the secondary markets. Look to maybe live wagering only during the commercials, by the way. I will not bet during the game. There's a 7 to 10 second TV delay, sometimes more. I'm cynical. I'm sorry. I don't bet live, only on commercials. I only want to bet on commercials live. You mentioned FanDuel. I was sitting at a sports book when these guys had FanDuel last week and next to me, and they were betting live. And I really noticed very little delay. I was actually happy. So that watching that, because I hate when they're, when the site gets way delayed, I can't stand. When it puts you in a queue, it spins you and spins you and spins you. And meanwhile, the next play went off already. Well, you know, your brain thinks that that someone's cheating automatically. I'm not saying they are, especially these big sites, you know. But anyway, yeah. So that's the story you know, about NFL.
Okay. Is there any secondary market wager NFL? I know it may not be the best environment to play this weekend. We do cater on this podcast to people who are not by any stretch of the imagination trying to make a living off this. They're betting 10, 15, 20 bucks because it's legal and they're going to watch the game anyway. It's more of an entertainment thing. Is there any, you know, guiding light suggestion you may have for them if they're going to play NFL?
I'll tell you what, anyway? I know most of the viewers love to bet like Kansas City, they're thinking this weekend, and they want to bet a money line parlay with the two favorites or something. If you like Kansas City to win the game, well, then that means you think they're going to go to the Super Bowl. Well, instead of laying 3-1 on money line, let's look at I'll look at FanDuel's odds. I looked at it this morning. I don't know if there's even a sponsor of the show, but you mentioned it's FanDuel. So they were +125 Kansas City to win the Super Bowl. So I would bet Kansas City to win the Super Bowl first before I would bet money line just this weekend, because you'll have a great price if they get by this weekend's Bengal game, and you'll actually have a good opportunity to even hedge or during the Super Bowl with that bet. So I'd rather bet them just outright money line instead of laying at 3-1, or it's actually 350. Instead of laying 350 on the money line, you could take a $1.25 for them to win the Super Bowl. And then after that happens, if they win the game, then you have a chance to make some money there with a hedge bet. And you didn't lay it at 3.5-1.
So okay. All right. Very good. All right. We're going to skip Niners and Rams. I kind of like when these podcasts go in a little bit of a different direction than I planned. This is okay, Bill. Here's we do this segment. Yeah, okay. Fine. This would be the normal next segment, and maybe we could use this as a bit of an educational a tool here, okay? It is called Cash or Trash. What we do is, this is when I am by no means an expert gambler. I'm a square if there ever was one. I give a bet that I am thinking about making. I tell you why I like it. And then you, the expert, you tell me whether it is cash or trash, and you explain why. So feel free. You can trash this one. No big deal. Our last guest last week trashed me and he was right. I missed the bet. So can I give you what I'm thinking about for this week? And you pick it apart. Do whatever you want.
Go ahead. I usually don't do stuff like this because you're forcing me into a play, but go ahead.
Would you rather not? We can skip it. It's okay.
No, go ahead.
All right, here we go.
I'll give you my opinion. Go ahead.
All right, very good. Here it is. I like the Cincy KC over 54.5. It's a very high total, but here's my logic. We just saw what KC and Buffalo did. And while Cincy's offense can hang with the Bills, their defense, I believe, is much worse. Not to mention these teams played in early January. They put up 65 combined. Burrow threw for 446 and 4 touchdowns. I think we're in for another shootout, and therefore, I am taking the over. Please respond to this as dramatically sounding as you can. Would you?
There's really no there's going to be no dramatic with me, no matter what. But if anything, I think it was cash, because you can bet. You can bet overs in the NFL now compared to years ago, where that was the square thing to do. I have a friend of mine that loves the over 30.5 team total for the Kansas City Chiefs, an analytics guy who I really trust. He likes the over on the Chiefs laying 130. And so therefore you already have 30.5 over. I actually bet overs. I bet over first half last week. I bet over game. I would agree with you more than anything with the cash there. I'm not looking to bet under on a KC game right now. They were scoring at will versus Buffalo. And, you know, not saying that's going to happen, versus Cincinnati here, but I would agree with you more than not disagree. So there you go, cash.
Very good. Thank you very much. All right, I have a few quick hitters, if you got a few more minutes for me here, Bill, and I appreciate your time. You gave some great advice back in August. That friend of the pod, Dave Purdom with ESPN, included in his Rookie Bettors Survival Guide. Something I'm hoping you can elaborate on here. In that column, You talked about paying attention to closing point spreads. So an example from that is if a really sharp book like Circa has the Cowboys as 7-point favorites and your sports book has them at 6.5, that can tell you something. Could you elaborate on that? What that could tell you?
Sure.
What you learn from that?
Sure. A sharp sports book like Circa in Vegas or Pinnacle Sports offshore, they control the offshore market. Circa controls the brick and mortar market. As far as sharp goes, not volume. I mean, they can't eclipse the FanDuels and DraftKings of the world because they're only in a small centralized market there in Las Vegas. But they do get a lot of sharp money because they take big bets. And, you know, they basically long term are a sports book that you can almost market handicap, not knowing anything about the sport. Long term, now this is any given Sunday or any given even season, they could be wrong. But long term, if you're going to market handicap, and let's use those numbers. Let's say Pinnacle and Circa both have -7 even, which means that you would lay the 7 points but no juice even. And other sports books out there, maybe your Square sports books would have. Well, let's use the Square sports books, but I'm always thinking in terms of Pinnacle being -7. Being the sharpest sports books. So I'm going to use Pinnacle and Circa as at -7 even. I'll use the same number, -7 even. The Square slow moving sports books, I'll use Vegas. Let's use Vegas. Stations casinos, Boyd casinos, which is Coast casinos, they would have -7, -15 or -7, -20. Well, they're actually telling you that they're all their Square fan base is betting on the favorite at those Square books, whereas the sharp sports books are telling you the sharp money is actually on the dog. So if you're going to bet +7 with them, you're going to lay $1.20 at Circa. Where if you bet 7 with the other sports books, the slow moving, the Square sports books, you can almost get that game +7, no juice, +7 even, or +7 -05. Long term, just that, and basically, I'll tell you another thing too. Not just the even. A lot of times you'll find 7.5 at some of those Square sports books. You'll actually get an extra half point. And that's where it becomes really valuable. Just market capping, taking those Square sports books against the sharp ones long term will get you will actually get you money in the end. It's not as good as it used to be. 20 years ago, I used to call it the Pinnacle Lean. I wrote articles about it in the late 1900s to early 2000s. It's not as good as it once was, but it's still a good indicator.
Very good. Pretty much everything I've got for you, man. Is there anything else you want to tell me? Anything we're missing? Anything you'd be good
to discuss? I'll tell you, after watching this week's games, though, you know, sometimes I think to myself that these coaches, they're too close to the sun. What that means is they're the moment's so big for them, it's too big, they can't properly think it through. Like, you know, they need an outside person, maybe from the sports gambling world like myself or someone else, you know, telling them what to do, like a squib kick instead of kicking it away and giving Mahomes 13 seconds and, you know, forcing the field, the game, field the ball and take 4 or 5 seconds off the clock. Sometimes, though, the coaches, you know, you always say there's the backseat drivers or Monday morning quarterbacks. Well, this week really showed you need that Monday morning quarterback Sunday of the game. So a lot of times, you know, people just talk out the rear end and say things. I think this weekend was a perfect example why you need sports bettors to tell you what to do sometimes.
I'm with you there. Bill, where can people find you? Where should they look for you?
Sure. I'm on Twitter at Bill Crackman with a K. I'm on the website, crackwins.com with a K, and also the CrackWins app, wherever you get your apps.
Thank you so much for coming on. I respect what you do. Really enjoyed listening to you. And also, I apologize if I didn't prep you well enough on some of these conference championship games, talking it out. I thought I'd gotten that through, but I just want to make sure, I respect you. I appreciate you coming on.
Yeah, no problem.
You know, you didn't mind doing that with me.
I'm easy going. I'm easy going. You see me the way I am. I'm really easy going.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. Bill Krakenberger, download the CrackWins app. Check out crackwins.com. Thanks again for coming on.
Anytime.
Before I let you go, ladies and gents, huge sporting event this weekend. One of my absolute favorites of the year. No, I'm not talking about the NFL. I'm talking WWE, the Royal Rumble. Here are the odds, and, you know, take them for what you will. This is professional wrestling. I don't even know where you can actually bet this. But anyway, men's Rumble per Bet Online, Big E is the favorite, plus 350. Brock Lesnar, plus 375. Roman Reigns, 8-1, plus 800. One kind of fun long shot that I'd be really surprised about if it happens. Bet Online lists none other than Stone Cold Steve Austin at 100-1 to win the Rumble. As for the Women's Rumble, Bianca Belair, 3-1, Alexa Bliss, 6-1. Between those two, though, Ronda Rousey, 5-1. It's looking like Rousey could be making her way back to WWE this weekend. I think I would take her, and let's go chalk. I'm taking Big E. Again, I don't know where you could actually bet that, but that's who I think will win, and I will be watching. As always, thanks for rating, subscribing, reviewing IG at Rambling and Gambling, and email me, ramblingandgamblingpodcast@gmail.com. See you next Wednesday. Have a great week.